This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca. Ira Flatow is away. Okay, Mr. Director Man, hit it! Yeah, okay. So how do you go from this... to this? To this. And then on to this. Well, the answer is pretty simple. Just go to Pandora.com and type in Tom Petty. A computer sifts through hundreds of thousands of songs to pick tunes with similar traits, whether it's classic soul qualities, major key tonality, or a shredding electric guitar solo. In theory, if you like the first one, you'll like all those similar songs. Now, that's in the song domain. Let's look in the movie domain. Netflix, the online movie subscription service, has been doing something along the same lines with movies. Rate some flicks you've seen, and Netflix will spit out some recommendations. But they've been trying to upgrade the recommendation system. So a few years ago, they started up the Netflix Prize, a challenge to computer scientists to make those calculations work 10% better, meaning the movies it suggests for you would seem even more handpicked and more just the thing you want to watch. And the prize, $1 million. So if you think you can do it, it's probably worth trying. So far, no one's been able to crack it. This week, Netflix gave away $50,000 as a progress prize, just to keep people, to keep them in the game. And that when a team that reached 9.44% improvement. Joining me to talk about the prize and how to get the computer to pick out the stuff you'd like are my guests. Reed Hastings is the co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Netflix. He joins us on the phone from California. Welcome to the program, Mr. Hastings.
Thank you, Joe.
And Tim Westergen is the founder and chief strategy officer of Pandora. He joins us from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Welcome to Science Friday, Mr. Westergen.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I guess my first question is for you, Mr. Hastings. It amused me when I read this number that you had a 9.44% improvement. What are we measuring here for improvement?
It's reducing the – to win the $1 million.
Right.
You have to reduce the error in our predictions by 10%, and the error is measured as the root mean squared error, RMS.
RMS, yes, of course.
And it's been reduced by 9.5%, as you said, in about 2 years. So hopefully, with 9.5% confidence, I can say someone is going to get the $1 million this year.
Wow. Well, this year? Well, we've only got a few weeks to go this year.
Ah, this calendar year. Oh, sorry. Okay. Over this in 2009.
In the next year. Oh, okay, good. So at least we've cleared up. So, I mean, okay, what's the game plan here? How does a computer do this? Is it in movies? Is it leading person? Is it actors? Is it style? I mean, what kinds of features go into predicting whether someone's going to like one movie if they already said they like a different movie?
Well, you know, the holy grail, Joe, in this industry for a long time has been being able to use data to help people pick movies, pick books, pick music, all of these taste-based things more easily. Today, we all go by our friends, we go by critics online, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong, and it's a bit haphazard. And our view is if we can help people more reliably find movies that they think are great, then many people will watch more movies and be happier.
Right.
And it turns out to be very challenging. People are just very individualistic.
Yeah.
And
well, we like to think so.
Yes. And so, you know, what we find is two people who can be identical in movie taste on 100 movies. And then you make predictions for one based upon the taste of the other, and it goes wrong. And that's because, you know, one person has had a bicycle accident and the other hasn't, and you've got a movie that's got a bicycle accident that's traumatic in it, and they react very differently to that.
Right.
So, you know, no one is ever going to be perfect. And the question is, can we be better than the other ways that you choose movies? You know, for example, your friends and the reviews.
Right.
We think we're already there for most people, not for everyone. And to answer your question about how does it work, what we do is try to be agnostic about, well, movies like this or like that. And what we try to use is the actual user feedback. So we ask our subscribers to rate movies on a 1 through 5 basis. Did they love it or did they hate it? And our average Netflix subscriber has rated over 200 movies.
Mm-hmm.
So people really get into it. It gets kind of fun. Once they rated all those movies, we then do all this statistical number crunching to try to figure out what's the most likely movie that that person will love. And that's what we've gotten better and better at.
I forgot to invite our listeners to join the conversation, or at least to remind them that our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You know, please feel free to join in. I hope we can get to some people before this segment ends. But I want to turn to you, Mr. Westergren, and see what's the experience with Pandora in terms of accuracy of predicting? Because I've used the service, and, you know, you get a certain number. You get a song, and you get a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I guess it's simpler than a rating system. But how accurate are you in picking what people are going to like?
Well, I guess ultimately you measure that by usage. And, you know, Pandora has about 20 million people that have registered for the service, and it's growing like a weed every day. And our basis for making recommendations is actually primarily based on the intrinsic musical properties of every song. So we've actually spent about 9 years now, a team of about 50 musicians, listening to songs one at a time and analyzing each one of them along close to 400 musical attributes per song, kind of like musical DNA. And that's sort of the connective tissue that we use to form playlists.
That seems, Bob Boylan at NPR is somebody who gets, you know, tens of thousands of cassettes, not cassettes anymore, CDs or downloads or however he's getting the music. But that seems kind of labor intensive.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
And it's working out for you, though.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you'd expect to be hatched in the academic setting.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, we spent a lot of years sort of in the wilderness building the Music Genome Project, which powers Pandora.
Right.
And have actually only become a radio about 3 years ago.
Wow. Yes. I think it's a really interesting service, and it's also a very interesting way of finding out artists that you would never have heard of, but turns out you're probably going to like. But let's take a call now and go to Roger in Denver, Colorado. Roger, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I was wondering how you differentiate on your 10% goal somebody who has already seen the movie.
Huh. You mean if they've seen it and liked it versus if they haven't seen it and then they watch it and they've liked it?
Yeah, if they've seen it before and it comes up on the list, do they reject that and say that doesn't count, or is it included as part of that 10%?
What about that, Mr. Hastings?
In terms of the prize or the contest, we have a data set which includes all of the ratings, and then we take out a million of those 100 million ratings and hide them. And the game is to guess what those ratings were. In other words, what the people actually said that they liked that film.
I see.
So in that way, we're able to measure at least what they said, how they liked it.
See, for me, as someone who's been you use the term the Music Genome Project, Mr. Westergren, and what I'm hearing here is this sort of an evolution in the Netflix sense of what happened with the Genome Project is people started just asking simple questions of large databases and waiting to see what emerged from the data. So I kind of like the parallel to the Genome Project in what they're doing. But
yeah, you know,
go ahead.
One of the motivations for launching the company was to try to create some system to help surface obscure bands. So, you know, all the working bands that nobody knows about and that don't actually show up on lists of people who like this also like this. And so, you know, we thought if you could really understand the music, you'd be able to take those bands and put them in their right context. And we actually now that we've been up for a while, as you mentioned earlier, listeners, when they launch stations on Pandora, can actually rate the songs as they hear them. And so much like Reed and, and Netflix, we've accumulated this enormous amount of feedback from listeners, which is sort of their way of saying, you know, I launched my Tom Petty station and this pick was a good pick or not a good pick. Mm-hmm. And so we have about 2 billion thumb up and thumb down feedback from listeners that we now actually have layered in to the system.
Billion with a B.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a, when people are able to influence their radio station, they go a little nutty. Wow. They love doing it.
See, this is terrible because what's that going to do to radio DJs?
Well,
it's not your problem.
Yeah, well, the problem we're trying to solve, obviously, is to make radio better for you. Mm-hmm. So it plays the kind of music you like, just the same way Reed's trying to make your queue of movies more personalized. And also, further to that, to create a radio station that can accommodate a much larger collection of artists, in our case, you know, over 60,000.
Well, here's, I guess what I'd have to then say is don't do this for news because then I'm out of a job.
That's called the wire services.
Please, it's too scary to think about. Okay, let's take another call now and go to Ann in Mountain View, California. Ann, welcome to Science Friday. Are you there? Did we lose you? Oh, too bad. Okay, let's see who else we can do. Not much time before the break, but let's try Lori in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hi. I'm actually use Pandora quite a bit. I'm a Pandora addict, and I've had Netflix for about 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
My question was geared towards the comment earlier about a traumatic bicycle accident. Would it be possible eventually for the consumer to put in the search engine, like, I don't want to see a movie with children dying or something like that, be able to find out?
To sort of fine-tune the kinds of...
On the recommendations?
Yeah.
Because I do use the recommendations quite a bit. I absolutely love that feature.
Interesting question, Lori.
The answer is absolutely. We're, you know, really all of us... us, Pandora, at the beginning of this great experiment about how to make these systems better and better. And, you know, today you can do things like say, I don't want too much violence or I don't want too much sex or, you know, very large-scale items. But what we're working on is all of this micro-tagging.
Mr. Hastings, I got to interrupt. We can come back to this, but we've got to take a short break. And when we do, we'll come back and take more calls about Netflix and its selection process and Pandora as well. So stay with us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. From NPR News, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Joe Palca. We're talking this hour about how computers... or computer algorithms can calculate what films and music you'll enjoy. My guests are Tim Westergren. He's the founder and chief strategy officer of Pandora. And Reed Hastings is the co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Netflix. And Mr. Hastings, you were just talking about the ability to give consumers more options in terms of the things they would choose when they're going to choose the kind of movie they'd like to have recommended to them.
That's right. I mean, the Internet is continuing to get better. If you look at how much change there's been, you know, in the 15 years that we've had web browsers, it's pretty astounding, and we're going to see continued improvement as we all learn from each other. We learn from Pandora. We learn from all the other companies involved in this, and we're all just getting better. So within the next 5 years, I'll say, you'll be able to specify great movies, but no bike accidents, please.
Yeah, I got it.
And for our version of that is we like, you know, music, but, you know, more vocal counterpoint and a softer kick drum.
Good. We had an inquiry from one of the people following Science Friday on Twitter, which was basically the question of how mood affects people's selection in picking movies and, I suppose, picking films. I suppose, Mr. Westergren, that's not a big issue for you. It means whatever they happen to want at that particular moment. But do you have any data at all to speak to mood, Mr. Hastings?
Yeah, I mean, people pick, you know, the classic one is, you know, the heavy-duty, you know, indie film drama versus the light Adam Sandler comedy. They might both be great for you, but just at very different times. Depending on what mood you're in.
Yeah.
And we let, of course, the users watch the movies when they want. So in that way, once they have the DVDs at home from Netflix, they're able to decide, you know, what they want to watch when they want it.
See, that's the trouble, is deciding, you know, in advance how you're going to feel when the movies arrive and knowing that you're going to need a particular kind. But, you know, people have obviously figured that out because Netflix is doing pretty well, as I understand it.
That's right. I mean, what Netflix and Pandora are both doing in growing these internet models is very hard. But there is one model that's even harder. So, you know, we're doing people in movies or people in music. And if you look at the dating services like Match.com, they're doing people in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's true. That makes our problem look relatively easy.
I wouldn't feel so bad if you didn't like a movie, but if you didn't like your wife, that might be a problem.
Indeed.
Let's take another call now and go to Brad in Detroit, Michigan. Brad, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I hate to be critical of Pandora because that's a service I actually use quite a bit and I really like it, but I have to critique it just a little bit. I guess I have a little bit of a question in there, is in that I've made certain channels. I've created, you create your radio channel based on a band or certain types of music that you like. Well, certain channels I've created, I've tended to see I've only gotten four different bands within 2 hours certain times. So I was wondering if there's ways you're working to improve on that, or is it just because you just don't have enough music yet, or are there certain bands that you have trouble sort of getting into your database?
Hmm. Interesting question, Mr. Westergren.
Yeah, that's pretty unusual, but it's probably a reflection of your starting point might have been in a part of our genome that's kind of relatively sparsely populated. So maybe the band is very unique sounding. But we have about 60,000 artists, about 600,000 songs, and we add somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 new songs a month. And I can definitely tell you that one of our sort of primary objective is to make sure that you don't have too much repetition. So we're working on it.
Okay. We have time for one final call, and that will go to Sari in Berkeley, California. Sari, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've used both services. Currently, I'm really enjoying Pandora. But what I find is that, in general, the Internet seems to lack the capabilities of a library search. So I stopped using Netflix when I couldn't search on categories. For instance, I wanted to look for a mystery put out in the last year. I had to remember, with Netflix, I had to remember the name of the director or an actor. But it's just those simple categories. So instead of you predicting for us, how about letting us choose?
Well, that's an interesting point. Sorry, thanks for that call. What about that, Mr. Hastings?
Well, it's an excellent concept. Sorry, is giving me, so we've got some ways people can browse by genres and various types. But to make it really easy to do recent mystery, it's a great idea.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid that's where we're going to have to leave things. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining me. It's a fascinating issue and question. And
so I have to leave you with a non-computer-based suggestion.
Okay.
I just saw Slumdog Millionaire in the theaters, and everyone should go see it. It's great.
Okay.
I second that.
All right. Well, see, we're providing many services here. We teach you about science, and we give you movie advice.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Tim Westergren is the founder and chief strategy officer for Pandora, and Reed Hastings is the co-founder and chairman and CEO of Netflix.